other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, presented by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan, and Jeff Cavins is with us again today. How are you doing, Jeff?
We just can't get rid of you,
can we?
I'm
doing well. God bless both of you. It's good to be with you once again. Exciting times we're living in, huh?
Always. And what's coming up on the Rediscover Hour?
Before we get to that, I just got to tell you, I've been meeting with more people around the Archdiocese about the exciting things that are happening in the area of evangelization and the great celebration that's going to be taking place.
It's going to be a big one.
It is going to be a big one. And we want to take some time a little bit later here on the show just to talk to all of our wonderful listeners about the big opportunity ahead to share this event with other people.
And how to sign up, because it will sell out.
I think it will sell out. Last year, you know, we had 5,500 and it sold out. We had a lot of people that
could not
to
get in, right?
Literally.
Breaking down the doors.
This year, we'll have 12,500 seats, and we're expecting those to go too, especially after you learned about some of the speakers we're going to bring
right
in and some of the surprises that we have coming up. It's going to be really, really good. But coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with the always inspiring good friend, Father Mike Schmitz, who's one of the many amazing speakers who will take the stage at the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration coming up October 3rd and 4th. And if you haven't registered yet for it, you want to get to it quick. Real quickly, that's rediscover-faith.org.
That's right. And it'll pop up under events, I believe, and you can sign up now. And today we'll hear from brand new high school grads about how Catholic school prepared them for life.
Plus, do you know a woman who has endured the death of her spouse? We'll speak with one of the organizers of the Widow's Day of Reflection about this special time set aside for prayer, contemplation, and fellowship.
But first, we'll start the show today, like we usually do, with Joe Towowski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hi, Joe. What do you have for us today?
Well, you know, the first thing I wanted to talk about today is our Leading with Faith Award, because we're still accepting nominations for that. And this is an honor that the Catholic Spirit has been giving out with the Archdiocese going on 13 years now. And in a nutshell, it's a way to really honor good Catholic bosses, you know, managers and supervisors and business owners who bring their faith to the marketplace. And these are people whose business practices and involvement in their parish communities really reflect gospel values. Over the years, we've honored more than 100 people with the award, and we've got one of the past winners with us today as a guest. Joseph Keppers is the Chancellor for Civil Affairs for the Archdiocese, and he was one of the winners of the award back in 2007 when he was an attorney with a firm in the Twin Cities. So, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Hey, at the time when you received the award, what did that mean to you?
Well, it was really humbling because at the same time I found out I won the award, they listed all the other winners. I thought, wow, how could I be in with this group of highly esteemed, devout, great practicing Catholics? So it was kind of a humbling experience. It also motivated me to do even more in my faith, and it was truly a blessing to receive the award. I don't know if I was deserving or not, but it was certainly a great honor and a blessing in my life.
Right. And the essence of the award, as I said, is to honor people who live out gospel values as leaders in the business community. How do you continue to do that in your own life and career?
Well, I made a major career change, as many of your listeners know, 18 months ago when I left my law practice, where I was president of a small law firm downtown St. Paul, and came to work for the Catholic Church because I thought, I really want to give my life more to the Church and work for Jesus Christ. And there's an opening here at the Archdiocese for the Chancellor for Civil Affairs, which is really the chief legal officer. And so I applied, and I was selected among many attorneys for the position. And I think it's really turned my life more towards Christ and made my skills as an attorney useful to the Catholic Church in the day-to-day workings of the Catholic Church at the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm. And we read about, unfortunately, a lot of bad things happening in the world of business all the time. What's the value of having an award like this that recognizes Catholic leaders in the business community?
I think it's very important, and it gets more important every year. As the world turns more secular, we need to identify those who are really standing out and standing up for their faith in their business in a secular setting. It's just so easy to fall into the traps of not practicing your faith at your work, you know, trying to separate your faith life from your work life. But the people who bring it together and really stand out as good Christian Catholic men or women, I just think that's so important in today's world because it sets them out as examples of who we really want to emulate.
Well, thanks for being with us today, Joe, and we rely on a lot of our past winners to nominate people for future awards, so if you or anybody else out there has some idea of some good Catholic bosses out there, please think about nominating them. It's very easy. Just go to thecatholicspirit.com and click on the Leading with Faith logo or call 651-251-7709, and someone can send a nomination form and a hard copy. And the deadline is June 20th, and the award ceremony is going to be at St. Catherine University in August, and Archbishop always hands those awards off to the winners. So hopefully we'll get some good nominations out there.
Now, Father's Day is coming up.
Yeah, a week from Sunday, and in the spirit of the observance, we have a story about an initiative spearheaded by Sagrada Familia, that they're a family services apostolate at St. Stephen Parish in Minneapolis. And the initiative is called Year of the Fathers, and it's designed to help parishioners from the Latino community reflect on fatherhood. It's helping to build stronger bonds between the men of the parish there. It's helping build stronger marriages and families and helping them deal with some of the social and economic pressures they face in the community. It's a great inspirational story, and this whole initiative grew from several years of missionary work that the parish has been doing in the community surrounding St. Stephen, and we've done a story previously about that and the Catholic spirit, how they're going out in door-to-door in the community and reaching out to folks. So people can read more about the Year of the Fathers, the initiative, in this week's issue.
And the Rediscover section, what's in there?
Yeah, the theme this week is unending prayer. So it's the idea of praying without ceasing, as St. Paul put it. But what does that mean exactly? Does it really mean praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? That's a pretty intimidating.
It is a tough one for a lot of people, yeah, to kind of wrap your head around.
Right. Well, Father John Paul Erickson of the Archdiocesan Worship Office takes a look at what Scripture has to say about it and what it really means to live your life as a constant prayer. And our feature story in the section looks at a book called Penny Prayers, True Stories of Change. And the author is a woman named Marian Amberg, and she's a Minnesota native. And the premise is rooted in an experience she had about 8 years ago. She had just come back to the faith and was struggling to make some decisions about her life. And she was taking a walk and happened to look down and see a penny. And the words on the penny, "In God we trust," really stood out to her. And she made it a prayer for herself. "God, I trust in you." And she's relied on that prayer a lot through her life, especially when she was struggling with some health issues and when she was trying to discern some things about her life. And so her book is a collection of stories about people who also began making the message on the penny a constant prayer in their lives, you know, expressing their trust in God and having it change their lives somehow. So she hopes that penny prayers can inspire others to turn to that prayer as well. And folks, again, can read more about her story and about the book in this week's Rediscover section.
I love the title, at least.
Well, and every time you see a penny now, just say a little prayer. And it's a simple one.
Yep,
in God I trust.
That's the whole point of the book.
Christina Kopecky is still writing these
days.
I love reading her.
I love her columns, too.
She is a great writer. And you know, a week and a half ago, of course, we celebrated Memorial Day, a day devoted in large part to honoring, you know, men and women who've made the ultimate sacrifice in service to their country. And today is another day to think about that. It's the 70th anniversary of D-Day today, the Allied invasion of the beaches of Normandy back in World War II, where we were liberating Europe from Nazi occupation. And Christina shares a very interesting story in her column this week about the son of a president. And, you know, everyone's familiar, I think, with, of course, Teddy Roosevelt, the president, but I wasn't familiar with his son, Ted Jr. And the son was 14 when his dad became president, and he became an investment banker. But when World War I came around, he signed up to serve. And then he, you know, went on to more of a career back when he came back to the States. But later, when World War II started, he signed up to serve again. And he worked his way through the ranks and eventually became a general. And when D-Day came, he elected to land on the beaches with his troops. And he was the oldest guy in combat that day. He was 56 years old at that time.
Wow.
And he may have been the only one who actually landed on the beaches with his son. He had a son who also served in the military who also landed on the beaches that day. And he pressed on, with the invasion there. But unfortunately, about a month after that, he died of a heart attack while he was overseas there. And Christina reflects in her column on the sacrifices that he and the other men made on this very day 70 years ago and the dedication and faith many of them had. So it's good to remember that today, and she is always, as you said, an excellent writer, and she writes an excellent column about that.
Read Christina's column and then go out and rent a copy of The Longest Day.
Oh, great movie.
Oh, an amazing movie with an all-star cast, including a very, very young Sean Connery appears in it in a supporting role. Yeah, John Wayne, and I can't remember who all is in it, but great stuff. That's all in the Catholic Spirit that just came out on June 5th.
That's right.
All right, we'll look for it, and thank you so much for joining us again, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find the Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with Father Mike Schmitz, a priest of the Diocese of Duluth, who is inspiring young people around the country to go deeper in the Catholic faith, and we'll talk with a local woman who is helping widows find fellowship and support in their faith. And we'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for making us a part of your day today.
And I'm Jeff Cavins. We have a serious topic to discuss this morning, and that is something that's going to affect 50% of all married people, and that is the death of a spouse.
When people experience the loss of a spouse through death, they are transformed by grief. But through God's mercy, they may also be transformed by grace.
That's right. And women who have lost a husband are invited to the Widow's Day of Reflection at Our Lady of Grace in Edina coming up on Saturday, June 28th, to contemplate God's healing love. And for more on this special day, we are so pleased to be joined by Cheryl Broich, who has organized these special days since 2011. Cheryl, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And tell us first, just before we get into it, your story and why you started the Widow's Day of Reflection a few years ago, if you would.
Well, when I became a widow, it was about 9 months into my widowhood, and I was invited to a women's retreat at the seminary, a silent retreat, and I was reluctant to go because once you become a widow, you live in silence, a lot of silence, and it's something you need to get used to. But I went, I gathered my courage and I went, and I noticed that there was really a lot of talking there, for me anyway. Between Mass and the reflections, and during the time of reflection, my private reflection, the Lord just spoke to my heart that he wanted to draw his widows unto himself and give them renewed hope, and that he would do this, and I should be at peace and trust, and that this could be accomplished. And I had to discern this. It came out of the blue, really, and so then through prayer, and the Lord kept, you know, encouraging me, and I didn't know exactly what he wanted, and I had. Someone that I asked their opinion, Father Klockman, and what I was thinking was a day of reflection, and he came along and said, I think the Lord's giving you the chance to do a day of reflection. And so I felt very confirmed in that. So I went to my pastor, and at the time, school was about to start, and there was a huge project at our church, and I went up to him and I said, Father Bob Schwartz, I said, I have an idea. And he said, what kind of idea? Like, oh, can't you see all this is happening here? And I said, I'd like to have a widow's day of reflection to reach out to the widows of the Archdiocese. And unbeknownst to me, his mother had been a widow for over 20 years. And he said, I love it. I go tell the staff that I have approved this and that we should start this process. So then they said, well, I had to go to the Archdiocese. So then I talked to Kathy Laird at the Office of Marriage and Family Life. And they said that there is nothing as an archdiocese that they did, but that they expected the parishes to do something like this. But they would... they would certainly sponsor this, and they're excited about this, and so we began. And our first year, we had 230 women come from five different states. We had Jeanette Bankovich come to speak to the widows of the Archdiocese, and ever since, we have drawn many people from different archdioceses and different states.
Cheryl, Jeff Cavins here. Boy, I sure appreciate what you are doing. What you're doing is filling such an incredible need, and it's a need that a lot of people, they don't think about. One reason is, I think, because of what you said, and that is people are so silent. But you remind me of what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 27, when he said that religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You're right. You're smack in the middle of what pure religion is all about, and that's ministering to widows. But I'm curious if you could share with our listening audience, what are a couple of the common denominators that people go through once they've lost a spouse?
Well, I'd say the absolute first thing is that you're never so sure that you are one through the sacrament of matrimony until your spouse dies, because they leave. And I guess, you know, intellectually, you know, you knew that you were one through marriage, but you actually feel it physically, spiritually, emotionally, that they leave. And then you realize that their strengths were your strengths, your strengths were their strengths, and every widow or widower can tell you they have to kind of get used to just being themselves, just the solitary person that they started out to be. And, you know, in my case, I was, you know, married for almost 40 years, and
that's probably hard to do, to remind yourself how to get back to just you.
It is. And it's a very unique, and so, like I said before, it is difficult to get used to the solitary, you know, the life, the eating alone and the
sure
the silence.
You probably get plenty of opportunities to to minister and share to married couples and to talk to them about what they have, and they might be taking it for granted.
Well, possibly so. I certainly have told them how I felt about it. But I am so grateful, you know, never to have loved my husband in the years that we had. I am so blessed, and our children and grandchildren, and the other thing that I always tell widows is that the Lord always takes care of us. We can always trust in Him. We are close to His heart, and He does take care of His widows. It's remarkable, in fact, the way He has taken care of me.
And how do you encourage women who attend your Widow's Day of Reflection to really seek out fellowship and support in their home parishes?
Well, that's been one of the exciting things about the Widow's Day of Reflection. It has had great fruit in that people have brought this back to their parishes, and they've started... I can speak especially to Our Lady of Grace. We've started a coffee.
Okay.
Just for widows. It's not a support group, really. It's just to get to know the widows in our parish so that on Sunday they can sit together,
yeah, and talk.
If they want to go to parish events, they don't have to go alone. They can invite another widow. And if you know other widows, then it makes it so much easier. We've had the book clubs just for widows. We've gone to movies. We've organized. There have been some good movies lately to go to, and so we've organized that. And I know other parishes have started prayer groups, and so that's the other thing we're encouraging everyone that has started a ministry or has an ongoing ministry to widows to bring that to the Widow's Day of Reflection so that we can send out all this information if you're interested in joining a widow's group. The other thing that we're doing is after we have our event, we're going to start a model, we're going to make a model so that we can give it to any archdiocese in the United States.
Oh, wow.
We have all the graphics done, you know, all the work done, and through these 4 years, we have developed a pretty good pattern of how to set it up and a timetable, mm-hmm. and so we're going to make a model in the near future so that we can share it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, this year's theme is Transformed by Grief, Transformed by Grace, and tell us about that and why you chose that theme.
Well, you are transformed, I guess, and if you allow the Lord to, you can be transformed. The day is really a day of hope. You know, it's a day that you see, you know, 100+, you know, other widows, and you're not alone. And our Bishop Lee Bechet is going to speak to widows and about hope, and that, you know, our life goes on, and there are so many widows of the Bible that have instilled hope, of course, our Blessed Mother. But, you know, even Anna in the temple, I mean, she was proclaiming the hope of the coming Messiah. There's, you know, our job isn't done. Our vocations aren't done, even though it seems like it, through our grief. And so...
Cheryl, we sure appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. I love your theme, Transformed by Grief, Transformed by Grace. Reminds me of what Pope John Paul II said in Salvifici Dolores. He said, it's suffering more than anything else which clears the way for the grace which transforms human souls. And that's what you are going to be investigating and sharing with other people. And boy, our theme for the fall celebration is Horizon of Hope. So we're kind of thinking along the same lines here.
Good. Sounds wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl, for being on our show today. And good luck in the coming years with your Widow's Day of Reflection and growing it. I'm sure it will be wonderful, and other archdioceses will be happy to use your model. It's a wonderful way to share with them.
Well, thank you. God bless you, the work that you're doing.
And here are the details on the fourth annual Widow's Day of Reflection on June 28th. It will be held at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. And this year's theme is Transformed by Grief, Transformed by Grace, and features talks by Bishop Pichet.
The day begins with Mass at 8 a.m. and will conclude around 1 p.m. Registration's $20, which covers breakfast and lunch. The day is sponsored by Our Lady of Grace Parish and the Knights of Columbus, and it is endorsed by the Archdiocese Office of Marriage, Family, and Life.
More information and online registration can be found on the Our Lady of Grace website at olgparish.org or by calling the parish office, 952-929-3317. That's 952-929-3317. We've also posted this information and a link on our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Just click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question. And recently, we spoke with graduating seniors at Hill Murray School, Go Pioneers, and asked them, how did Catholic school prepare you for life? And here's how they responded.
Hi, my name's Rachel. I am a member of St. Pascal's Bailon Parish, and I'm going to Seton Hall University this fall. Going to a Catholic school has taught me to use morality to fully round out academics, which most high schools don't do. I'm going into international diplomacy with a focus on protecting human rights, which definitely was inspired by the Benedictine values, which were presented as just an absolute expected part of how to live in communion with others.
Hi, I'm Johnny, and I go to St. Jude of the Lake in Matamidi, and I will be attending St. Thomas next year. And Catholic education throughout my life has taught me how to really use my resources and my abilities to benefit others, to do service well, and to make sure that I can make as good as a world as I can make it.
Hi, my name is Joseph, and I am part of St. Ambrose of Woodbury, and I am planning on heading to the University of Minnesota. Catholic education has helped me because it has taught me to broaden my thought processes as I take what I learn in school and expand it into realms such as my faith. And that has really helped me as an individual to learn how to think more broadly.
Hi, I'm Dusty. My parish is St. Michael's in Stillwater, and I'll be attending St. John's next year. And how Catholic education has helped me. I've learned multiple Benedictine values here at Hill Murray, and it teaches me great life lessons such as service and giving back to the community.
And you can see stories about some outstanding Catholic high school graduates in the Catholic Spirit Online in the archived May 8th issue.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with Father Mike Schmitz, who is one of the most compelling speakers reaching out to young Catholics today.
And we'll hear from couples who attended last year's Marriage Day about why you should make plans to attend the wonderful celebration this year. Plus, we'll take a look at other Catholic events happening around town. We will be right back.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. At a time when most academics thought progress in civilization meant overcoming the influence of religion, the English historian Christopher Dawson dedicated his life to taking religion seriously in the study of history. A Catholic convert, he spent years in intense study and reading across cultures and across centuries. In his more than 20 books, Dawson came to articulate the essential role of religion in human culture and in the study of history. He came to the United States briefly as the first holder of the Stillman Chair in Roman Catholic Theological Studies at Harvard University. In his little book, The Historic Reality of Christian Culture, Dawson deftly lays out his vision of faith and culture. He died in 1970 at the age of 80, and his library and personal papers are part of the special collections at the University of St. Thomas.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. And We are into June, and maybe October seems a long way away, but honestly, now is the perfect time to make sure you register for the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration. And Jeff, you are at the heart of planning and making this event bigger and better, if that's even possible, than last year. And tell us what you have planned and some changes maybe that are going on for this year's event.
Well, you know, last year was a real success.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was over the top. It was successful. We had 5,500 people gathered down in St. Paul, and just some marvelous speakers, and a great day of reflection, great day of encouragement, celebration. And we're going to build on that for this coming October 3rd and 4th. I say 3rd and 4th because that's one of the things that's different
right. This
year, is that last year we only had one day. It was a Saturday. But this year on October 3rd, on a Friday night, we have a really spectacular night planned for young adults.
And young adults, anyone over 18?
18 to 30, roughly. I would barely make that. No, I'm
in the 30s or 30.
No, none of
I'm
us
just
would.
Barely slipping in, for real.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's geared towards 20s and 30s.
It is. We have a night of music and inspiration. I mean, our next guest, Father Mike Schmitz, is going to be there. Father Stan Fortuna, a breakout star from Nashville, Marie Miller. And she's going to be with us, by the way, on June 20th.
That's
on
right.
The show.
Mm-hmm.
We have Father Dwyer from Busted Halo. And it's just going to be a really great night of music. Sonar will be there, our local group Sonar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be worship, praise, fellowship, some good food. And I think it's going to be a real rallying point for young adults. On Saturday, we have some really great speakers, Dr. Scott Hahn, Archbishop Coakley, Curtis Martin. Marie Miller is going to be introducing something very special this year, another song on the theme.
Leah Darrow, we could talk to her last week.
That's right.
Right?
Leah Darrow will be with us from America's Top Model. And the beautiful thing about this year, I think, is the theme. It's Horizon of Hope. But I just want to say something to all of you who are listening, that that this year we're expecting to sell out again. We've got 12,500 tickets. We are opening it up. It's open up now. It's already filling. And we want to encourage you that to go ahead and get your tickets for October 3rd and 4th, especially October 4th. If you're not going to go to the young adult event, at least go to Saturday, because you can also fulfill your Sunday obligation, because Mass will be
later
at the end of the day.
That's nice.
And so you can spend a whole day with us. And we've got some special music. And I just got to tell you this, Corey and Paul, we've got some surprises this year.
Now, how can we register? I mean, it's on our Rediscover website, correct?
It is. It's rediscover-faith.org. You can go to
under the events tab, right?
Under the events tab.
And then it says register today. I think it's very simple. It's probably very similar to last year. And you can buy separate tickets for the Friday night and Saturday. Is that right?
You can.
Okay.
You can. But I really want to encourage people to jump on that now and use this as an opportunity for evangelization. Invite your family and friends. Get two extra tickets and give them away, just to invite people to this major event.
Idea.
Which is not just a conference. This is a mobilizing event. We're coming together, and we're going to be announcing some big initiatives going forward for the next year.
Well, waiting in the wings right now, one of the speakers at the Rediscover Catholic Celebration, Father Mike Schmitz, the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese of Duluth. He's one of the most inspiring speakers reaching out to young people in the church today. Thank you for joining us, Father Mike.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
What do you see? What gives you hope in young people today?
You know, it's funny, because I think that when it comes to, sometimes we approach young people as if they're this whole other species, you know, like, mm-hmm. It's like, this has never happened before, where the gospel has never really reached the heart of a young person until now. Now, there are obviously, you know, there's a difference now than in the past, obviously, when it comes to different people, different generations, different kind of cultures and stuff. But one of the things is that the response to the gospel, the response to the invitation of Jesus is the same. I mean, it's so powerful. It's the same kind of response that I see on a regular basis that, you know, I read stories about. Here is, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, who, you know, realizes there's more to his life than the life he's been living. And he encounters Jesus, and everything changes. Or here's, you know, someone raised in a great Catholic home like St. Therese of Lisieux, who just is drawn deeper and deeper, and even with her weaknesses and even with whatever she's struggling with, the Lord works with that and changes her, makes her into this amazing saint. And I see the same thing happening all the time. You know, we have on our campus in Duluth, We have some people who have no idea that there's a God who loves them, and they encounter that. One of the things that gives me hope is when they encounter that God, the same thing that happens, like Francis of Assisi, happens to them, and the same thing for the kids who show up, and you know they've been raised in a good Catholic home, and they just are invited to take those next steps in allowing like the power of God, the presence of God, the reality of God into their lives. Same thing happened with Saint Therese is happening with them. So one of the things that gives me hope is that I don't need to be responsible for this. Like, you know, it's not my work, but B, it's the Lord's work, and He is working, and that's just amazing.
Father Mike, Jeff here. Hey. We missed you in Israel, by the way.
I know.
The Focus students, you know, the Focus missionaries, which I'm going to go down to Ave Maria next week to train, they speak so highly of you, and they would love to go to Israel with the two of us, so we got to arrange that.
That sounds like a good plan that we should work on.
Hey, Father, I know you no doubt get parents that are approaching you all the time, and they're saying they're concerned about their kids, and they're asking, Father, what can we do? We don't seem to be able to communicate with our kids. They're sitting in their rooms and they're twittering and they're Facebooking and you know Snapchat and the whole thing. We can't seem to get a hold of them. What do you tell parents that say help?
Yeah, well, one thing is it makes a huge difference on where their relationship is at with their kids and where their youth are. Absolutely, you know, because if when it comes to that adolescent like rebellion type time, that if there's been a groundwork that's been laid already, that in these moments of panic when it comes to rebellion and stuff, I don't know if there's necessarily a need to panic as much as there is. Okay, just we're gonna ride this storm out. But then when it comes to, like, you know, I think a lot of times in those moments when I talk to parents, one of the things that they'll say is, like, I tried to do a good groundwork, but all I can think of right now is my failures. Like, I tried to set my kids up for to knowing the faith and for, like, even just being willing to talk with me. You know, I thought I was doing a good job as a parent, but now all I can see right now is all the places I've failed. And so one of the things that I really invite parents to do is if they recognize that, like, if they recognize there's a depth of, here's where I've really actually failed my son or my daughter, is if they're willing to, and if they think it'd be a wise thing to do, because that's important, the wisdom part, but is to be able to be straightforward with them and say, you know, I realize right now that here's where I failed as your mom, or here's where I failed as your dad. Not because you're a bad kid now, like I messed you up clearly.
Right,
everyone can tell
I ruined
that.
You.
Right, not that, but in the same sense of, like, I just want to let you know that my greatest desire was to be a really good parent. You're a great kid, but here's where I failed, and I just want to ask for your forgiveness. No, I've talked to a couple parents, and just recently who have done that, and they said it's made a huge difference in their relationship with their children, because one of the things that, you know, we hear this again and again, one of the things that the young person needs and desires is authenticity. Is just this transparency. And sometimes when you're living with someone, you can see all of their inconsistencies.
Sure.
And so when it comes to parents, same thing. But of course, as parents, you all know, you already know your inconsistencies. You already know the places you're failing. But do your kids know that you know?
Well, and just saying it out loud that I'm human and
exactly.
I make mistakes too.
And I think there's something about, like, just, and I'm asking you for your mercy. Like, I'm
right.
asking for you to give me some grace. And I find that to be really powerful. One other thing, if I could just add, another thing that I think is just so powerful that we sometimes underestimate because it's not immediately, it doesn't seem immediately productive, is the place of prayer and fasting for our kids. Our Lord points out that there are some times where there are some obstacles in a case in the Gospels, it was, you know, demonic possession. Some cases where there's some obstacles that are so big that they can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. There's no amount of argument that's going to, you know, work. There's no amount of, you know, tough love that's going to work. There's no amount of, like, you know, ask for your mercy that's going to work. That sometimes it's just uniting a parent's suffering and a parent's prayers to the suffering and prayers of Jesus. And I think that is more powerful, but also more underestimated than almost anything.
Well, speaking of Jesus, how do you challenge young people to embrace him and as their hope and their purpose for life? And what do you encourage them to do to make that lifelong commitment in a culture that's perhaps so superficial and transient? And also, how do you speak to them with certain languages? I mean, how do you get down to their level to really, really reach them?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Or not down, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
to their level.
How do you meet someone where they're at?
Meet in the middle, right.
And I think a big piece of that is if I don't know where they're at, or if I don't know them, then I won't be able to either meet them or meet them where they're at, you know. And so there's a piece of that to just, one of the things that's just, when we're talking with our youth ministers here in the Diocese of Duluth or any youth ministers anywhere, or anyone working with youth, is this whole note of relational ministry. And mm-hmm. relational ministry is rooted in the idea that a person does not care how much I know until they know how much I care. And I cannot, it's basically what Pope Paul VI said in Evangelii Nuntiandi, which is he was quoting himself, and he said, a modern man will listen to witnesses more readily than they'll listen to teachers. And if they do listen to teachers, it's only because they first are witnesses. And there's a piece of that that is, it has to be a lived relationship between the person communicating the message of God and the young person or the old person. So the first thing is, do they know that I care about them? And the second thing is, like you mentioned, ask the question of how do you communicate this? I think, sometimes people fall into the trap of, like, I need to be super funny, or I need to be,
right.
Down with all the lingo.
Kind of super cool.
Yeah. There's one element that, okay, maybe that can be helpful at times, but...
Or very transparent and
exactly.
not authentic.
Exactly. It could be.
Trying too hard. Yeah.
But I think another piece is, if you were to go to be a missionary in China, you'd first learn Chinese.
Right.
And you'd learn how to speak like a Chinese person speaks. Of course, when you spoke to them, you'd share the message of the gospel, but you do it in their language.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's so important, is what is the language? Like, how are young people, or how is anybody right now speaking? I know sometimes you can go, to Mass, and you can hear the deacon or the preacher, the priest or the bishop preaching, and sometimes you think, like, I get that they're speaking English right now, but I'm not sure
not
I know
following.
What they're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
We're talking with Father Mike Schmitz. He is the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese of Duluth. Father, you just came off the heels of producing with a number of other people an incredible confirmation program.
Yeah, Chosen.
Called Chosen. And I know that you just finished with that. Just comment on that briefly for young people. But also, what's energizing you today? What's really getting you excited as far as the faith, and what are you studying?
Yeah, well, awesome. Thanks. Jeff, that's the question I always ask you.
I know you do.
Well, you can't turn it around. I mean, Chosen, I'm excited about Chosen for many reasons. And one is because I think that, when I go from parish to parish, it's often, you have these people who are really, really, they're committed to the Lord. They're committed to their youth and to the families that they work with, saying, like, I want to help these young people encounter the Lord in such a way that it transforms their lives forever. But I don't know how to do it. I can't bring in various speakers every week for my youth group, and I can't necessarily, I don't necessarily in my parish find a number of teachers who can speak that language, the language of our youth today. So one of the things that Ascension Press did with Chosen is they brought together a bunch of people who do this on a regular basis, who speak to youth on a regular basis, and then they brought in this amazing production team who was able to film this in a way that just not only captures the mind and the imagination with the great teaching, but also just kind of captures the heart with these images, and it captures the attention with just really high production value. I mean, if you want to talk that kind of thing, but part of that is, we live in such kind of a flashy world,
yeah,
that it really becomes clear whether you care about what you're making or not, in a certain sense. So if this is important, we're going to make it as best as we possibly can make it. And if it's not, we'll just kind of, muddle our way through it. And it is very clear that one of the things Ascension Press did with this program, Chosen, is they said, this is important. I mean, souls are at stake.
Yeah.
Eternal.
The future.
The future. And and the future of our culture as well is at stake. And so how can we do this as best as possible? So that's one great thing about Chosen.
Well, I tell you what, it's an incredible program. We're gonna have to move along. But I cannot wait to hear what you are going to share with young adults in October on Friday night, Saturday. We'll talk more about that later. Perhaps we'll be able to have you on again before.
We'll have to, yeah.
Yeah, just to find out more. And I want to find out what energizes you too and what you're reading. But thank you so much, Father. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much,
Father. Father Mike Schmitz. And you can see Father Mike, many other inspiring speakers at the 2014 Rediscover Catholic Celebration that's coming up October 3rd and 4th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And the theme of this year's celebration, Horizon of Hope. And it's a wonderful opportunity for Catholics to come together and truly celebrate our faith.
And like we said, this year, the celebration happens on Friday evening and Saturday all day. And on Friday, October 3rd, it focuses on young adults. Doors will open at 5:30 p.m. and the program begins at 6:30 and wraps up about 11 p.m. Speakers include our guest today, Father Mike Schmitz, plus Father Stan Fortuna, Father Dave Dwyer, Marie Miller, and our guest on the show last week, Leah Darrow, and others. And there will be food, beverages available for purchase. And this evening is geared again towards young adults in their 20s and 30s, but of course open to all adults over 18. The Friday night ticket is just $15.
Then on Saturday, doors open at 8 a.m. The program starts at 9 and runs until 5 p.m. Speakers include Archbishop Paul Coakley of Oklahoma City, Scott Hahn, Father Dave Dwyer, Curtis Martin, Leah Darrow, Kelly Walquist, Jeff Cavins, and a lot more. The day features breakout sessions for adults, Latinos, youth, and children, inspiring and educational exhibits. This special day culminates in Mass. Saturday ticket, $20 for adults, $10 for youth grades 7 through 10, and $7 for children in grades kindergarten through 6.
But y'all really do have to register now, so please go to rediscover-faith.org. And if you have any questions, feel free to call 651-291-4411. That is 651-291-4411.
And a reminder this morning, by the way, was that a y'all you gave us?
I threw in a y'all.
You did throw in a y'all.
I've got to keep it real, you know.
It's Corey with her y'all.
Texas roots.
I like it. A reminder this morning regarding the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. As many of you know, while I'm Director of Evangelization for the Archdiocese, I'm also serving as co-director of the Catechetical Institute. And we would be remiss if we didn't tell you about the fine things that are happening. Over 750 graduates now of the Catechetical Institute. It's a two-year program. We're going to start up a brand new class this fall, and registration deadline for this new fall catechetical class, it's going to be called the Class of St. Gianna, and that's going to be extended. The deadline's extended to June 24th. We've received a lot of feedback and a lot of people still saying, hey, I want to get in, and we're going to cut it off on June 24th, but we want to give you the opportunity, our wonderful listeners, to sign up. It's a two-year course, and you're going to have the opportunity to go through all four pillars of the catechism in 2 years. It basically comes down to about 11 weeks for every pillar. You meet on Monday nights for 2 hours. Some of the best teachers from the seminary and the Archdiocese and St. Thomas will be teaching you in a very practical way, in a very accessible way, the faith. If you really want to know the faith and commit yourself to 2 years of study with other adults, this is for you. And every pillar of the catechism, we take 2 Saturdays, and we meet just in the morning on Saturdays, and we have a reflection with people like Father Klockman. And which just incredible experience.
Otherwise, it's just Monday evening, 7 to 9, every Monday for 2 years.
Right, right. And our graduates are out there just serving the Lord in parishes and schools and businesses. We had one lawyer. Well, in fact, it was Joe Kippers earlier. He was a graduate.
Oh, yeah?
And he said, you know, after going through the Catechetical Institute, I went back and reviewed all of our law practices in light of the Catholic faith. And we hear stories like that all of the time.
Everyone says it's life-changing. That's the word they use, or two words, but
I think it is. You know, the truth that Jesus has given the church, the deposit of faith, is life-changing. And another thing that's is wonderful is we get a lot of couples going through it.
I know, and that's, I look forward to doing that with Dan. I think it'll be, it builds your marriage and gives you, you know, such a strong foundation.
Well, we're really training people to go out and to be disciples of Christ, and I think that our archdiocese is better off with students like this that go out. I should say disciples that go out and make a difference. I think about St. John the Baptist in New Brighton, Father Sklizacek. I think he has
a huge group, doesn't he?
60 graduates.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, think about that for a moment. You got a pastor with like 60 graduates.
All from the same parish.
Exactly. And he said...
His church is strong.
Oh, he's got a lot of people he can draw from, and they're very, very excited about the faith.
Well, applications are being accepted now, like we said, for 2014-2016 class of St. Gianna. And remember, the deadline has been extended to June 24th. And for more information on the Catechetical Institute, visit our show page at rediscover-faith.org. And we've posted a link to the Catechetical Institute site there, or call the Catechetical Institute at 651-962-5028, 651-962-5028.
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll find out what did the Pope say this week.
And hear from couples who attended the Marriage Day celebration at the cathedral last year and find out how you can attend this year.
Plus, we'll run through a calendar of other local Catholic events when we come right back. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Jeff Gavins.
What did the Pope say, Jeff?
Well, what did the Pope say? You know, every week there's so many interesting things. He has a lot of sound bites. They're very, very fascinating. In June 2nd homily, he addressed married couples in the Vatican and pointed to fidelity, perseverance, and fruitfulness as the three characteristics of authentic Christian love.
Yeah, he commented that it is a faithful love, talking about the fidelity of Christ to sinners as the ultimate example. It's a faithful love, it's a persevering love, and he never tires of loving his church.
And he talked about how, while Christ's bride is beautiful, but also is holy, but also a sinner, he loves her all the same.
Speaking of married couples, if you're listening on Friday, you still have time to attend a special celebration of your sacramental bond this Saturday, June 7th.
And you are invited to come together with other married couples for the annual Marriage Day celebration at 10 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
Last year, we spoke with a few of the hundreds of couples who turned out to celebrate, and we asked them why such a celebration is important. Here's what they had to say.
Hi, I'm Nancy Curdy from Church of St. Michael in Prior Lake.
And I'm Paul Curdy.
We've been married 21 years. I think it's important to support traditional marriage and to come together as a community and celebrate Mass together.
We're Vincent and Leon Arsino from St. Paschal's Parish in St. Paul, Minnesota. We've been married 7 years. Well, gets a chance to renew our vows, stay closer to each other, and love each other a little more.
I think the same thing, and I think it really is so enlightening to see so many, many people here.
I am Concordia Munar. And
I am Ignacio Munar.
St. Alphonsus Church, it's very memorable. You know, you can recall your past, and now you are in the present time that you reached 50 years. Not very many people, I think, reach that years of marriage life. Yeah.
Name is Sharon Mueller, and I'm from St. Henry's Parish in Monticello, Minnesota.
Bob Mueller, St. Henry's in Monticello.
because it just brings us together, and my beautiful family all showed up to be with us today, all in suits and ties and party dresses that they wore to their confirmation this year, because three were confirmed here at the cathedral this year, and it's just a celebration because we love each other.
All faithful are invited to the Marriage Celebration Day on Saturday, June 7th, and that's tomorrow if you're listening on Friday at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Mass is at 10 a.m. with a renewal of vows for married couples, followed by a short reception. Family and friends of couples are also invited to the Mass and reception. Come and celebrate.
And all are invited to hear the Great Cathedral Pipe Organs in concert on Thursday, June 26th at 7:30 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Dr. Sean Vogt, choir master at the Cathedral of St. Paul, will perform as part of a year-long celebration of the $3.4 million restoration of the Great Cathedral Pipe Organs. And this concert is free, open to the public. Free will offerings benefiting the Organ Endowment Maintenance Fund would be gladly accepted.
And the third annual Fortnight for Freedom is coming up June 21st through July 4th. Check your bulletin to see if there are any events at your parish to mark this time of prayer, education, and advocacy for religious liberty. There are also two archdiocesan opportunities for reflection on religious liberty. The first is a special Mass on June 28th, 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. Now, we don't have a show next week, but coming up on the Rediscover Hour on June 20th, we'll talk with Marie Miller, a young singer, songwriter, and musician who's in the midst of a breakout year with songs on the charts and in the movies and legions of fans. Find out more about this musical star who lives out her Catholic faith with passion in the public arena.
And we'll hear from local Catholics about what it takes to lead with faith in the workplace and find out how you can recognize someone you know who does just that.
Plus, we'll have an interesting discussion with award-winning journalist Tim Drake, who will be giving a talk on virtue in the face of religious intolerance during the upcoming Fortnight for Freedom.
The Rediscover Hour, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.